Thank you, Warren. As he was going on there, I was about to believe this elder routine. You know, that was good. That was all right. I think I identified with a lot of these folks. I feel good. In case you're wondering, I don't feel like that elder he talked about. But evidently, those years have gone by. I feel as good as I did 25 years ago. That was when I was 25. Higher mathematics to tell you my age. I have two little children, one's nearly six and one nearly ten, and a lovely young beautiful wife. The only problem I have is when I look in the mirror, then it's revealing that I really am, I don't know, an elder, but at least older. It's good to be with you. We're going to have a great time this week. Is the East Coast rather conservative or Midwest? What do you call yourselves? Midwesterners or East Coasterners? Or what do you call yourselves? Somebody tell me.
Great Lakes.
Great Lakes. I see. All right. Well, are you conservative in the Great Lakes? Are you relaxed? Do you do things proper? Improper? I know you don't do them improper. Cooperative? Yeah. Well, out west, you want to relax a little bit. And this is a wonderful place to do it. And it's good to have you here. It really is good to have you here. And it's good that Helen and I are going to have a different place of ministry. I don't know. I really appreciate the way Warren put all that. I don't know whether or not we've done such a good job or such a bad job. New Zealand is a long ways away. The fellows might have thought, well, boy, he's goofed this up so badly. We'll take care of him for the cruise. Somebody asked us, are we going to fly? I said, I surely hope so. I made that trip by ship once, a boat to so many of you. But it really was a boat, I guess. It was a tugboat. And I thought we never were going to get there. But we did. I have attempted to outline the material. And if you want to, you can put it in your handy-dandy book here. I put mine in just beyond the page that says John Crawford, Great Lakes Couples. Well, that's my name, I see. July 25, 31. And I put it just before Welcome to Glen Eyre, We've Been Looking for You. You can put your notes any place you want to. We have been looking for you. And I don't know, at least this will show you that I've done my homework, and you can scribble over this page and make it your own. And speakers that I hear, I don't know just exactly what they're talking about, and if they'd written it down, I could have at least taken the outline away. So that's the desire for this outline. You can take it away, and then you'll know what the subject was supposed to have been about. It's good to see quite a mixture of ages here, you know. I get a little self-conscious of these young fellas and their hairdos and mustaches and different things, you know. I guess jealous would be the word. I used to have some real lovely hair. It was real nice, and it was quite a bit of it. But I was speaking at a conference up in Spokane. And I went off and I left it in a second drawer of the bureau. So I hadn't bothered to get any more. Some fellas offered me something, though, that would, it was good for your hair, you know, as your hair began to came out. And in fact, they said it would keep your hair in. Or something, no, I missed that one then. Something to keep your hair in, that's right. So it was a little box about this way. Anyway, you could put it in as you go. How to enrich your devotional life. Definition. I have the life and actions of one who is devoted to Christ. The offering of oneself to God. Not necessarily a study or instruction or doing, but a conditions of one heart to God. And I would presume that the trouble that you have gone to come here, it's a lovely place, but you go to a lot of lovely places. It's quite a ways for some of you, all the way from Virginia. Virginia is a place of crooked roads, in my mind. Crooked roads in Virginia. Isn't that interesting how you remember a play, Crooked Road? Alabama is a place of green peas. I won't reminisce, man. I was born and raised in Alabama, and my wife is from Minnesota. Both of our children were born in California, and we live in Colorado. That's pretty good homogenizing. But it's a condition of one's heart before God, devotion. And I would presume that you came here largely for the purpose of getting to know God. I understand all of you don't even know each other, do you? You don't know each other? A lot of new friends this week. Isn't that great? A lot of wonderful, wonderful people. You get to know them. And they increased your horizons in that way. But primarily, I would say that so many of you came for the purpose that your heart might get right with God and stay right with God. I don't mean right in the sense of some experience, but right in the sense of maybe some of the anxiousness that's been plaguing us might be removed. Maybe some of the excitement. You know, it's interesting days in which we live. I've been a Christian now for 30 years. But these are interesting days and trying days. Days in which sometimes I get so anxious, so excited. Seems like the nerves run out. I don't get very tired. Well, I get tired physically, but I get rested in the next, you know, when I lay down to sleep, I'm rested. But sometimes I'm not rested as far as my nerves are concerned. I guess you get that way when you get middle-aged. Did I tell you? Have you heard how you can tell when you get middle-aged? Middle-aged person is when your wife tells you to hold in your stomach and you already have. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. For a long time, I used to go over that verse. I memorized it a long time ago. And I thought it was deny myself something. And I used to try to deny myself something. One occasion, I gave away all my money. It wasn't a lot. I won't be very rewarded very much for it. But I did give away all I had. And on two occasions, I did that. I wanted to. I wanted to know the Lord. Well, I didn't give it all away. When we bought Glen Eyrie, I had $418 in the bank. And I gave away 400 of it, and I kept the 18. But I wanted to know the Lord. I wanted to know Him in a real way. And then it dawned on me as I was reviewing this verse that it's not that I deny myself something, but it's John. It's me. It's the person that gets in the way. It really isn't Helen. It isn't you folks. It isn't the boys leaving the hoses up on the road, you know, and you run over them like I came around here. You know, sometimes I come straight across, then I don't get too involved. I live right over there, wherever it is, over there. And I just come straight across. I think I'll try to come over here and put blindfolders on. Then I won't get involved in all the details, you know. The hoses out on the road, or somebody left a rake handle turned up the wrong way or something. I get so involved. But it's myself. It's myself. In Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Not deny himself something, but deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Helen, my wife, I enjoy her presence. And I trust I am fully devoted to her. Being devoted to her, I want to be with her. When you're devoted to someone, you enjoy their presence. I like to be with my little children. I like to be with them. Little Bonnie said, I want to be with you, Daddy. Little Bonnie has lost her teeth up and down. I've lost mine too, but for different reasons. The other day she came by, I was reading, and she'd lost a tooth, and she says, Daddy, if things keep going, I think I'm going to lose all my teeth. Teeth. I told her, honey, it looks like you're well on your way. A big help I've found in enriching my devotional life to God is a quiet time. Some call it a morning watch. A time which I take aside to worship God, just God and me. We have a little trail camp up at Eagle Lake where fellas 15 to 17 come. Most of these are graduates of our boys' camp. Our boys' camp is 11 to 14. You'll be going up there and seeing that installation. My, it's a marvelous thing. I'm just so excited about our boys' camp and trail camp and girls' camp. I think I'm more excited about that than I am the adult program. One of the things that the fellas do on trail camp, they call it a solo. We've borrowed this from Outward Bound, a program that teaches young fellas self-reliance. And this afternoon, in this particular afternoon, the fellas take a piece of polyethylene, you know, plastic, and a sleeping bag, and some bouillon cubes, and basic instructions, some matches, and some concentrated soup, just the very elements, elementary things of life. They leave in the afternoon, and the counselor goes out with them. They select a place, and they're there alone with God and with the surroundings all that afternoon and all night until the next morning. Outward Bound does it for 3 days, but we thought with our fellows being a bit younger, just one day, solo. Some wonderful experiences come to that. Just you and God, and some wet matches and some wood trying to build a fire to keep warm, you know. And all those noises in the woods at night. There's not a thing in the world, of course, it'll hurt you. Nothing. Not even any snakes up there. A few bears, but they won't bother you. Nothing up there will hurt you. The idea is that a boy might get alone with God and think. You know, I wonder if we shouldn't take some solos once in a while. And that's the idea of the morning watch. That's the idea of the quiet time, is a solo every day. Every day you take some time. There has to be a motivation for this, just like there must be a motivation for me to be in the presence of my wife. And the motivation, of course, is my devotion to God. And it's love for Jesus Christ. God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 1:9, by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, in order to fellowship with Him. I enjoy the fellowship with my little children. I enjoy the fellowship with Jean and Paul and Ray Rice and Warren George and Bob. One of the reasons I think I enjoy it is that I know them so well. I don't know Bob as good as I do these other fellows. I've watched them grow up, really. But I enjoy the fellowship with them because I love them in the Lord. I enjoy the fellowship with my wife. I enjoy the fellowship with my little children. I enjoy the fellowship with God. I enjoy talking to Him. And He talking to me. And so it's with this desire to have fellowship with Him. This is a worship period given to one who with the price of His own blood purchased our salvation. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as a heart. A heart is a deer, an animal like a deer. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As I come before Him, because I realize how much He has done for me. I realize that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins. Jesus Christ washed me free of my sins. I shall no more suffer for my sins, because He's paid that price. I want to be with Him. Because of who He is to me. When? Well, the morning is a good time. The reason for the morning is we can get orders for the day. A navigator, Dawson and some of the fellows in the early days, coined this little term. A navigator on the Sea of Life is similar to a navigator on a surface vessel or a flying ship in those days. A navigator is a person who gets his orders from his captain and charts his course with the use of the chart and the compass. A navigator on the Sea of Life is a Christian who gets his orders from his captain and charts his course. And his chart and compass, of course, is the Word of God, the Bible. We'll be talking about the Bible a lot this week. The Bible. I am just thrilled with the work of the navigators. Because we have been successful these 35 plus years to stay out of a whole lot of trouble and controversy And I believe one of the reasons is God has laid on our hearts to stay on the elementary things of the Christian faith, namely the Bible, learning the Bible, using the Bible in our lives. We have different beliefs in other things, and we differ among ourselves, but it very seldom comes up because we're so concerned to get the Bible in our own hearts and lives and in the lives of those with whom we work, because the Bible, when it's applied, will change a person's life. And a navigator on the sea of life is the one who gets his orders. And it's good to get your orders in the morning. You don't have to get them in the morning, I suppose. You can get them the night before and sleep on them and get up in the morning and start putting them into practice. I've listed here some men when they got their orders. Job 1:5, he rose early in the morning to worship God. Abraham in Genesis 19:27, Abraham rose early and went to a definite place to stand before the Lord. He rose early. The psalmist in Psalm 5, verse 3, My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I make my prayer unto thee and will look up. Sometimes, you know, some little time in the morning with God sets the tone for the whole day. Some little time in the morning. If you can manage to have a rested body and some breakfast and a little time in the morning, my, you get out and you attack that freeway and that old commuting with just a little different zeal. I tell you, it's great to live here in Colorado. My. Sometimes in the wintertime, this is hard to believe. I've been going from here to Denver, and so help me, there wouldn't be a car in the front or in the rearview mirror. Can you imagine that? Isn't that great? We have less than 3 million people. I think we have about that many tourists. But they all go home first little snow. Yeah, frost come, you go home. And you got it all to ourselves, some quiet. Well, not sometimes the coyotes get anxious around here. But where was I? Oh, yes, in the morning. Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He shall hear my voice. My little girl is learning a song in Jesus Loves Me, but it's another verse. Jesus loves me, and the words are, Have I told him so? It's new words to me. And she's been singing it all day, every day. But it's a beautiful little song, Have I told him so? And last night, after our supper meal, we had some prayer, and her mother asked her, Well, Bonnie, have you told Jesus that you loved him today? And so we had some prayer, and teaching the little ones to tell Jesus that we love him. We love him. And he shall hear my voice. Folks, I don't know how your prayer life is. We have some wonderful leaders here this week. A leader is a person that has come here to serve you. That's what a leader is. He that will be greatest, let him be servant of all. And we all believe that. And if any of us among you are leaders, why, we are the servants. And one of the greatest services that we could be, or anyone could be, would be to teach you to pray. I'm sure you'll have some instructions on prayer, and I hope you'll have some practice in prayer. Because you want to learn to let him hear your voice. You want to learn to talk to Jesus. Talk out loud. Let him hear your voice. And the question comes, well, he knows my thoughts. You know, so does my wife know my thoughts. And so does my little girl know my thoughts. So my boy know my thoughts. A lot of times. But sometimes they may not know my thoughts. Sometimes when I'm rather serious, my little girl says, Daddy, are you happy? I say, Yes, honey, I'm happy. And I know why she asked that question, because of the expression on my face. So my facial expression betrayed my thoughts. He wants to hear our voice. It says here, And he shall hear my voice. Call on the Lord. Mark 1:35, the Lord Jesus, and the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out into a solitary place and there prayed. Daniel 6:10, Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, you remember the story how they tricked Daniel and they made the king pass this decree that if anybody worshipped or prayed to anyone except the king, He would be executed by being cast into the den of lions. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows and his room being opened toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to his God as he did aforetime, or was his custom. Psalm 119, 164, 7 times a day. 119, 148. The psalmist said, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I may meditate in thy word." When he would wake up at night, rather than fussing about, "Oh boy, I can't go to sleep, you know. Where's the psalmist?" Da 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 da. He would try to stay. That was the wrong tune, wasn't it? It's been so long since football season, I don't know the commercials anymore. When David would wake up, rather than fussing about he woke up, or the coyotes were howling, or that truck went by, he'd stay awake and think about the word. "Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I may meditate in thy word." He wanted to think about God. How to prepare. You know, it's difficult to have a quiet time or a morning watch without some basic preparation, and this is practical. First, a decision must be made that this is needed. There's a lot on decision, and I'll be sharing with you some basic things on decision and how important making a decision is. It's very, very important. And you must decide. We must learn to be very honest with ourselves. Honest. You must learn some basic truths and agree to them. One of the basic truths that I've agreed to, that I do what I want to do, and if I want to do it, I do it. Now, that's true. I really believe it's true about you. Now, you might not agree with me right now, but I hope you will before the week's over. You really do what you want to do. And what you want to do, you really do. You figure out some way to do it, if you really want to do it. There's something about you. There's just enough conniving. There's just enough of that old whatever it is. You'll do it. You may have to talk to him a long time and give him over to your side, or her over to your side. Or, you know, big deal or little deal, but it's something about us when we set our heart. And so the idea is to get you to set your heart on the right thing, and you'll do it. There's something about deciding that you want a fellowship with God. You have to decide. The navigator's work was made on a basic decision. Doss was talking to a young man, and during the time of his conversation, he and the young man were talking to a third man, a policeman, and the policeman gave his heart to Jesus Christ. The young man, the sailor, Les Spencer, was so impressed with this activity, with this action, that he really wanted to do this. And he said, "Doss, I'd give my right arm if I could do what you did tonight." And Doss said, "No, you wouldn't." He said, "Yes, I would." He said, "No, you wouldn't." He said, "Yes, I would too." Doss said, "No, you wouldn't." And Les Spencer sat up straight in the car, and with a firm voice, he said, "Doss, I said I would." And Doss said, "Les, you can do what I did tonight. It won't cost you your right arm, but it'll cost you." I've heard Doss say over and over again, right there is where the navigator's work was born, to find a man who said I would. When Lauren said, "John, would you come and put the farm in shape? Would you come and, you know, fix it up, and, you know, I'd learn better than to say, "Well, Lorne, if you'll be sure that the fellow send me some help," or, "Lorne, will you help me go raise the money?" "Well, Lorne, what about all those people that's supposed to come? Will you help me?" "Well, suppose it don't rain so that the lawns will stay pretty." You know? When you get your orders, you say, "Yes, sir," or "No, sir." And you go about doing it, because the God of all the earth is at my disposal. That's right. And you ask him. And you know, he's given ideas. Not necessarily to me, but some fellas on the crew. He gave us ideas. And one of the ideas was to stop the leak in the reservoir. And we've had plenty of water for 6 years. We've had plenty of water all the time, you know. It rains just so much every year. Or, you know, cycle. It's been this way for years. You can go down there and they'll tell you how much it's going to rain. It's been this way. It just does. You can find that out. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, we're going to build a reservoir and dam and save it and then dispute around, you know. Dawson used to tell us, when God gave us a mind, He gave us a lot of leading. You know, there's no hocus pocus around, you know. There's no wave the magic wand. You know, the fellows have either refurbished or put in 36 bathrooms since I've been here on this cruise. That doesn't make us spiritual, but we're some of the cleanest people in the world. Yeah. Well, they don't just grow. See, this carpet, that isn't a mold like a penicillin, you know, that stuff that grows on the bread, you know. That stuff, some of you folks probably gave to put this in. How many folks are here from Michigan area? How many are here from Michigan area? How many were here about 4 or 5 years ago? Did any of you have a part in room 303? It was the folks from the Michigan area that started this thing of grouping it, the place into they started and we took an offering, or rather they wanted to have one room up there that they would refurbish, and we got the idea, why don't we break it down and room 303, a very, very lovely room. It was done by decision. It was done by sacrificial giving. It was done by working hard for money. You see, you have to decide. So you must make a decision how to prepare. That's on point A, in case you think I got lost, which I did. Point B on how to prepare. Get to bed early enough to get sufficient sleep before getting up. This is a practical aspect. No, many of you have that problem, as some of our younger people in our training program. For some reason, they think that if they can get by on 3 hours sleep, and at the most five, they're spiritual. Okay, kid, let's go. Boy, he's spiritual, you know. And I was talking to one kid some time ago, and he said, well, John, he says, I was really, you know, laying the word on him about getting rest. And he says, isn't it true that Mr. Einstein got by on 3 hours sleep a night? And I said, you know, I did read that someplace. I have heard that. I really did. But you'll have to pardon me, fella. I didn't realize I was talking to that type of material. First Corinthians 6:19-20. Paul says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have to watch the body. You have to get a sufficient rest. Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your spirit. Your body isn't just yours. You've been bought with a price, just like your soul was bought with a price. Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know, we're not just spirit and we're not just physical. There's other parts. There's a social and part. There's a psychological part. And there's the nerves part. So you want to prepare the night before. C, prepare heart the night before by confessing any sin that is necessary. Make any notes. If it's a little bit too late to call someone up and confess sin, which might cause more sin, you know, if you wake them up late enough at night. But make any notes as necessary. 1 John 1:9. Do you know that verse? Let's quote 1 John 1:9. Ready? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Let's say it again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. To confess. Ephesians 4:26. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a tremendous verse. Be ye angry, And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I like to use sundown as a time of getting things squared away or getting things corrected. Now, I don't suppose you have to use sundown. Sun going down now doesn't make as much difference as it used to when we were all on the farm, or our forefathers were on the farm. It makes a difference when you're out shooting birds, because you have to quit at sundown or start at sunup. But very few of us, the sun going up or coming down really affects our lives so very little. But I have used it because I got to use some time. There's got to be some time in my life and my day in which I use as a stopgap. So I use sundown or evening time. It says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, you don't go to bed without getting this thing squared away. Don't say, well, I'll do it in the morning. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I think the Bible teaches doing it today. If you and Mama have some problems, I think you ought to talk about them. Well, John, late at night is no time to talk about them. I'm tired. Well, better to be tired tonight than tired in the morning. You know, not sleep very well. Or vice versa. Just talk about it. Of course, I'm sure that before this week is over, there'll be some couples here who will be communicating better than you are right today. My. This business of communication. This fellowship that you get with your helpmate when things are right between you and God. But I use it. I also use it as a time to do other things. You see, at Leviticus 19:13, the wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. If I have something that I have to pay on a certain date, I try to pay it by that date. You have to have some kind of business about your activities if you want to succeed. My children's allotment. If it's supposed to come on a certain day, I like to do it. I just get a little bit of joy out of doing the things on the day in which I'm supposed to do them. And my reason is, in Matthew 6, Scripture says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Or, don't take one day's evils or troubles over in the next day. I think that's the reason people lose their mind or commit suicide, is they've been hauling these troubles. And if you haul enough troubles through the night into the next day and then haul them through the night, like I tell you, the next day, pretty soon you're going to have a sight of troubles. We have a way of using up all the good things and just saving the troubles. We use up all the digestible material and then just save the husk. It's the problems that seem to follow us. So if we make a habit every day of squaring away these problems or sin, so I use the sundown. Or use each day to try to finish up where I am that particular day. Where? Have a definite place. Jesus often went to the Mount of Olives. Scripture says in Luke 22:39, as he was wont. The word wont in the King James means custom. He had a custom of going out there every day. Daniel used his room. When I was first converted, I used to use the uptakes of the tugboat, the ship. It was warm. It's usually cool at sea, you know, even in tropics. So I would get up and come by the mess hall and have a cup of coffee and duck right around in there with the uptakes over the boilers. But then I'd keep warm. And I would review my verses and pray and talk to the Lord. And it was some 26 months before I had any Christian fellowship, no other fellow. No church, no nothing except me and God and the Bible and some verses on some cards. My, what a wonderful time. What a wonderful time. I had victory in those days that even give me problem now. And it was because of a fellowship, a relationship between God and me. I had my solo. It lasted over 2 years. I wouldn't exchange it for anything in the world. Now then I use a chair in my room. It's over in the corner and I just sit over there and have my stuff over there. And my little children come and go. I do this for two or three reasons. My children don't bother me. And because I'm in and out of the house so much, I find that I can double up on my time by letting them see me Just as long as they see Daddy over there, they don't want him. He just went over here. There he is over there. And it doubles up on my time, and then it, not that I want to take from my time with them, but it, I don't have to make a special lengthy time to get acquainted when I do have my time with the children. That's the reason I place my chair over in the corner and sits there, and I use that for my quiet time. What to do? Well, you can read your Bible. You can pray out loud. You can review the message that's heard. You can use verses on cards. I hope that you get exposed to memorizing Scripture. I wanted to memorize Scripture soon after I was converted. I tried, and I got bogged down. Then the fellow started me off again. This was early part of World War II. And then I got bogged down again. Then I got back to the States, and by this time we had the topical memory system. And I took the topical memory system, and then I got along pretty good for several years, maybe 15, 20 years or so. And then about full 5 years ago, I began to have so many verses on cards, and I got bogged down in my review. And I decided I would review verses from the Bible. So I would review verses from the Bible. But you know, I couldn't take my whole big old Bible everywhere. And I quit the card business. I was down in Oklahoma, Gene War. January was a year ago. Spent 10 days with Gene. We were out bird hunting. My, ever since then, I've gone back to the card system of memorizing Scripture and reviewing Scripture. My memory work has been so refreshing in the last year and a half, it's been better than ever before. I don't mean I know more verses. I don't mean I miss less words. I still miss words, you know. But the joy in my heart, the refreshing that comes from God talking to me, an old saint, middle-aged saint, has been so refreshing. I don't think I can emphasize it. The fellows on the crew said, John, I've never seen you so helped up on memorizing Scripture before. I said, well, it has been a long time. But you get somebody to help you on memorizing Scripture. He said, well, I can't memorize. Yes, you can. You know your phone number? Do you? You don't have a phone. Good for you. Okay, you know a neighbor's phone. See, that's one thing you know. You know your memory, you know your address? Yeah, not zip code, but address. You know your business address. You know anyone else's phone number. There's four items right there. You know, it only takes about six verses, and you got the gospel memorized. Romans 3:23, 6:23, Hebrews 9:27, Hebrews 5:8, Ephesians 2:8-9, John 1:12. I memorized those six verses, and it was after I memorized those six verses that God gave me my first soul. After, when I had the burning message on my heart, I could quote it, I could memorize it. That all went back to those times and the uptakes of the ship, trying to keep warm, sipping that old strong Navy coffee. It's a wonder I don't have stomach trouble, but I don't. And meditating on the Word of God. Results, I enjoy this time with Him because I love Him and He loves me. The startling thing about Peter and John, they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, or rather they were not educated men. They hadn't been to school a lot. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And when I fellowship with someone over a period of time, I can tell if they've been with Jesus. Because my spirit is uplifted. Because my soul is uplifted. And folks, in this room, we just well decide that we're going to have to carry ourselves and a lot of other folks as long as we live. You have to carry them spiritually as well as financially and with your tax and giveaway program and so on. But you're going to have to carry them spiritually. So you have to be prepared and you have to be strong. Those who are with Him most are the most like Him. Proverbs 13:20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. And Father, we pray that from this day forward, our devotion to you will be increased. Help us, Lord, in lining up our quiet time this morning watch. I pray for every one of these beloved ones this week, that this might be the week in their lives in which they drive down some stakes, start and begin some habits that will pay off throughout the remainder of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.